Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Love Proof, and I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 first, and we will start there. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So I think sometimes, at least the way I grew up, it's like if you're going to meet God, you'd want to meet the God of the New Testament, because the God of the Old Testament is just pretty jacked up, right? He's not happy. You know, he's angry. Things happen to people. There's wars. It's just, and some people completely ignore the Old Testament. Like, you just don't want to go there. But it's the same God, right? And you think, but he's grumpy. You know, Jesus showed up and cleaned everything up for his dad because his dad just old and, you know, he just doesn't get it, right? But you can't find that in the Old Testament. Now you say, well, what's up with all this stuff? Because anybody that picks up a Bible and says, I'm going to try to read the Bible, they make it through Genesis, they make it through Exodus, and then what happens to them? It's like the tractor pull, the weight shifts, and it grinds into the ground, and they go, I can't do the Bible. Because they're killing stuff and sacrifices, and you can't do this, you can't do that. So you're like, well, what is all that about? And yet in Deuteronomy, if you clear to Leviticus, you get to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Look what he says. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you. Okay, so this is not just what he says. This is not just what God is telling them. He is commanding them to do these things, but he's commanding them to teach these things. Okay, it's one thing to make an edict of some kind, make a decree and say, I said it once, that's it. But in the scripture, when God comes up with stuff, he's saying, this is the commandment, these are the statutes, which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess. So my job is to teach you and to teach you to observe, okay? So if you've been raised, and for whatever reason, I kind of got raised in an environment where I was being taught a bunch of facts, a bunch of information, but I wasn't really encouraged on the implementation side. And I think sometimes the problem is if you got people telling you to do stuff and they're not doing it either, they have a hard time pressing you to do it yourself. And if they are pressing you to do it yourself, they have to create a distance between you and them, because if you get near them, they're going to find out this is not who you are. You're telling me to be this person. You're telling me to do all this stuff. But if I follow you around, you got nothing. And so there's kind of a massive moat that's built from a pulpit to the first row of a church so that the two don't meet. And some people say, well, why do you stand outside after the service and wait till everybody's gone and greet people? I ain't trying to get away from anybody, right? I love people, and I am trying to connect with people and encourage you and let you see this is a real thing. It's a real process. Am I perfect? No, neither are you. Am I growing? Yes. Am I going to make it? Absolutely. But it can be messy along the way. So he's commanded to teach you that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So there's connection. You say, well, what if somebody got sick? They're a really godly person. They got sick when they were young. Okay, that can happen. But there is something to be said for doing God's will, teaching God's will to your kids, your grandkids, and your life literally can be prolonged. You want to live a long life? Then don't do things that screw it up and get you literally killed. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Okay, now this is different. So he comes at them and says to them, you've got to love God. This is not about rule keeping. You say, but he just said, I'm going to give you these commandments, statutes, all this stuff to do. But at the core of it is not just straight up obedience and hate the one you're obeying. So you meet some teenager that hates their parent or parents, and the parents are hardcore. You can't do this. You can do this. And just pounding on them, rules, 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 rules. And the parents don't love those kids, and those kids don't love the parents. You may pull off a certain amount of obedience, but there will be zero relationship. So God comes along and says, look, I love you. Look at this place I've given you. I could have wiped it all out, kept eight souls, did a reboot, kept the animals even, and they still screwed up, but I'm not gonna wipe it out. And I've given you this beautiful environment to live in, this planet in this universe that just screams of who I am, creative, powerful, protective, everything you need. And how could you say I'm against you? And you say, well, there's sin in the world. There's bad things that happen. There would be no bad things happen in the world if it were not for sin. You got no sickness if there's no sin. You got no death if there's no sin. So sin wreaked havoc on his creation and on us. And yet he comes to us and says he loves us. And what does he ask us primarily to do? You shall love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And these words which I command you, where shall they be? In your heart. So if you have listened to what God's word says and only stored it in your head, you're not going to make it. You hide this stuff in your heart. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. David said that, right? So you say, Lord, I don't want to just know what the book says. I want you to know that I love you because you told me to love you. And I want to hide these things that you have for me and that are best for me in my heart, because then I'm motivated out of my heart to obey you, not just out of my head to keep a bunch of rules. Keep reading. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you think, well, that's it. That's enough. No. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, then they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Put it everywhere. Talk about it all the time. I'm to love God. He loves me. I'm to love him. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. And I'm throwing this in here just for people who say, well, but I don't, you know, where's this God of love in the Old Testament? Jeremiah, just a few pages to the right, 31:1. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword, found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest, the Lord, he appeared of old to me, saying, and this is what he appeared of old to him and said, God said this to him, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you and you shall be rebuilt. I've loved you with an everlasting love. What does that mean? It'll never go away. It'll never stop. And then he talks about loving kindness. So you say, well, how does God feel about me? That's how he feels about us. And by the way, they didn't really understand completely in the Old Testament what would go down. But the Bible refers to Jesus as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That means before the world was even created, the universe, Adam, Eve, anything, even sin. God knew all that was coming, and a decision was made before the slab of the universe was poured. They knew what would happen and made a decision. We're going to have to go in to get them. There's no one to go in and get yet, and the decision has already been made. You say, well, I don't believe God loves me. What has he got to do? Before anyone exists, before you exist, he's already made provision. I know they're going to be born. They're going to be born sinners like everybody else, but they're going to find out that I love them. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, so I'm about to be out of here, and where I'm going, you can't come, not at least not now. And then verse 34. A new commandment I give you. Okay? So you got Old Testament, you got commandments. Now he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So what's new about this commandment? What did the old commandment have to do with in Deuteronomy? That one had to do with loving God. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, my soul. So that was where it was focused. The new commandment does what? Focus it to other people. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. So you've been told to love God. We got that. Now I'm telling you to love one another. I'm commanding it. So here's been my view for a long, long time. Most people are trying to do number two without doing number one. So you're trying desperately to love one another, but you don't know God loves you and you don't love him. So you're having to crank up, crank out some kind of feeling and act like you love people. You don't love them because you can't do number two without number one. So the new one doesn't work unless you apply the old one, the first one. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then this verse, okay? By this, okay? So it's not by the first commandment. It's not by claiming that you love God. That's not the one he's using. He did not say, by this, if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, everyone will know that you are my disciples. What does he say? By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So you say, I love God. Whatever, dude. Anybody can say that. Well, you say, but it's true. I do love God. Okay, I believe that. You love God. Are you a follower of Christ? Well, what do you mean? Well, there's other proofs that go with that. There's love proof to go with that. Well, what are you questioning my love for God? No, I'm not questioning love for God. I'm just telling you, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, you follow Jesus, he'll make you a fisher of men. You follow Jesus, he'll make you a lover of men. You cannot be a disciple. So here's where some people are love proof in the negative side. They come into a church and they go, oh, I see what you people are trying to do. You won't leave us alone, will you? You're going to run us right out of here, and you're exactly right. I'm going to run you right out of here. But you can't do that. Oh, yes, we can, because you won't be able to stand it, because we're going to love you. And you're not going to want anybody loving on you. I have people in my life that I will straight up look at them and tell them out loud that I love them, and I get nothing back. You say, well, but they, you know, they love you. Hey, if you love me so much, tell me you love me. Okay, so our church is about what? Disciples making disciples. So you say, well, how do you know if you're really accomplishing where Jesus said, you know, as you're going, make disciples, if that's what he said when he left and that's what we're supposed to be about, how do you know it's working? You tell me. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It ain't working if we don't love each other. That's it. You say it's too simple. No, that's what he said. So see, if I let God love me and I realize I have worth, I have value, I'm important to God, then I want that for you. And so then I speak to you of these things. And then you start feeling better about you, not because you're just positive thinking. You find out what God says about you, and then you believe that, and then he starts flowing in you, to you, fills you up, you overflow to other people, and the thing starts working. Well, obviously that person just irritates the fire out of me. We're not talking about that. We're talking about whether you love them or not. Love overcomes many evils. And the Bible says, as much as lies with you, live at peace with one another. What's that mean? It means there may be challenges. We may not like each other, but you got no option on the loving. And the world is desperate to walk into a gathering of people where it finally works. And they go, gotta be Jesus. There's love proof right here. Let me read you these other ones just really quick here. John 15, just go a few pages over. John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you say, well, I don't know God loves me. He says it right there. If you follow Jesus, you're going to end up knowing that he loves you. You're going to keep his commandments and you're going to love other people. There's no way around it. But I grew up around some Christians who are just mean as the devil. I mean, talking to just mean people, right? And they could throw around some Jesus jargon, but if you stayed with them long enough, man, these people are unhappy. Steering wheel gnawing, just unhappy people, right? You don't want to be that person. So either you change or you leave. Because the book says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you have fellowship with one another. If you don't walk in the light, you can't be with people walking in the light. You say, well, they ran me off. No, you ran yourself off. well, they're just loving on me too much. I'm not comfortable with that. You'll get used to it. Keep reading. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, when you love people, sooner or later, you find somebody you'd lay your life down for. And the first person you need to be willing to do that for is a man named Jesus. And you come to him and you say, if I hold on to my life, I see that I'm going to lose it. But if I lose my life for your sake, that's when I'll find it. So I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to follow you by denying myself, taking up my cross daily and following you. And then you're going to end up loving people. You can't say you're following him and not end up loving one another. It's not possible. The proof is in the love. It goes on even here. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Keeps coming back to this. John 17, read this one quick with me. Down in verse 23. I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So now the Bible claims that God loves us as much as he loves in the same way that he loved Jesus. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. You get Jesus in you, you get the love of Jesus in you, your life is going to change. And if it doesn't, something is catastrophically wrong. You either are not a Christian or you got sin in your life. Something's wrong. So you say, well, I know I'm a Christian. Then climb in a closet somewhere and say, what is up with this? Why is my old heart so hard and cold? Because Jesus is in this body and I do not love people the way this says. So something's wrong and I want it right. Okay, really quick. Romans 13, just give me a second on this because this will help you what I read you about the fulfillment, those two things, those two commandments. Romans 13 and look at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now look at this. You love one another, you fulfill the law. How is that possible? For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So you say, well, I'm worried about doing all these other, breaking these commandments. Don't worry about all those. Love your neighbor the way you love yourself and you won't break them. Because love does no harm to a neighbor. Oh, I'm trying so hard not to covet. Stop it. Just love your neighbor. And then you're happy for your neighbor. You're not trying to get what they have. 1 John 3, verse 1. Gosh, you got to read this stuff. This, if you just slow down and read it and actually believe it, it's extraordinary. He's like, look, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Not only did Jesus die for us, but we get put in his family and we are his children now. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. The devil's got kids too. Now, this is going to sound harsh. If you're not born again, your daddy's the devil. Born again, God's your father. You're a child of God. You don't get born again, you stay in the devil's family. You say, well, I don't like the sound of that. Well, do something about it. Get you a new daddy. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Two things. You say, oh, well, of course, if you don't practice righteousness, you're a sinner, then that means you're not of God. No. Two things. Practice righteousness and you don't love your brother.
So you cannot claim to be a Christian, you cannot claim to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, and not love people, and he also mentions here, practice righteousness. You go, I'm in big trouble, I might not even be a Christian. So I'm not trying to get you to go that far. If you're not sure you're a Christian, let's resolve that. But if you're a Christian, just, my gosh, do what you gotta do and let's get the train back on the tracks. If you're living in sin, don't live in sin anymore. Get some help. And if you don't love your brother, you don't love other people, then back into it like we described and said, God, I don't think I know you love me, or we need to get back to that. I've left my first love somewhere. So remind me you love me. Give me love for you. Give me love for myself. And then let me get on with loving other people. I don't want to be this person. Being mean is exhausting. Exhausting. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Goes all the way back to Cain. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. So one of the no-brainer ways to know that you've passed from death to life, the power of Satan, the power of God, darkness to light. The way you know you've passed is because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So this is a big deal. Now, I've almost would have you stand up and look around the room and go, okay, find all the people you don't love. Right? Hopefully you can't find many, or you can't be in the same room very long. Well, I think that lady's kind of weird, but I guess I love her, you know. Forget all the weirdness and, you know, politically we're on different ends. Who cares about, I'm not talking about that. Do you love each other? Because if you love people, you'd be amazed what you can work out in the relationship. Okay, keep reading. We're almost done. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So don't go around saying, I love you, or I love God, and all blah, 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 blah. Give it some deed and truth, where it's actually a thing because you act on it. So your noun becomes a verb. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, number one, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So it's very simple. Become a Christian, love one another, and life's gonna work. What about be chasing all these sins? You do those things, your life's gonna change. Believe in the name of Jesus, in his son Jesus, and love one another, and your life, it's impossible for it not to change.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I wanna share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
And the last one is 1 John chapter 4, 20 and 21. And I think, I didn't put this in my notes, but I think verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Is that right? Okay, that's verse 19. So you can't say, oh, I just chose to love God. Whatever. The only reason you have any love from God is because he loved you first. If someone says, quote unquote, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. It's a commandment. This is not optional. You want to be a Christian, live the Christian life. This is it. And the world is waiting for us to be these people. And walk in a room and go, they got nothing in common but Jesus, and they love each other, I'm in. Not because we got fancy music or Noah's Ark in the nursery or whatever people come up with to attract people, right? I can name you some barbecue places I go to that ain't very fancy. But the barbecue is amazing, and that's why I go.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.